Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Tallahassee, Florida, and was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 7 months old. Doctors told his mother he'd likely be blind or dead before the age of 25. Since 2012, he's been the CEO and co-founder of Team Novo Nordisk, which represents the changing diabetes platform to show the world what can be achieved when you take ownership of diabetes. The author of Not Dead Yet, My Race Against Disease from Diagnosis to Dominance. His name, Phil Sutherland. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Phil Sutherland, the author of Not Dead Yet, My Race Against Diabetes, From Diagnosis to Dominance. Phil, welcome and honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. Great to be with you.
Let's go back. You're 7 months old, and the doctors have a meeting with your mom and dad. What happened?
At that meeting, you know, they said, you know, we have good news and we have bad news. Good news is your son's gonna, you know, live for now. The bad news is he has juvenile diabetes, and based on current standards of care, treatment, technology, and frankly, the age I was diagnosed, because I was the youngest ever diagnosed at that time. He's not going to live for long, 25 at tops. And if he does, he'll either have renal failure or be blind. Yeah, here's your insulin. Good luck. And that was, you could say, poor bedside manner, perhaps. But frankly speaking, it was exactly what my mom needed to hear, because it really lit a fire under my parents' butts. They wanted to cherish the time they had with me, and slowly started using me as a experiment to find out how they could, you know, help me live the best life possible. And, you know, God willing, you know, prove those doctors wrong in time, which I'm fortunate to say we did.
Let's start with the basics. Phil, what is diabetes?
So, diabetes in whole is a metabolic disorder. And where the body is not doing a good job of regulating glucose, and higher glucose over time can lead to complications such as renal failure, blindness, amputations, cardiac disorders. But the type of diabetes I have is an autoimmune disease, type 1 diabetes, where the body's pancreas does not produce any insulin whatsoever. So, essentially speaking, you know, I use a continuous glucose monitor, and, you know, I use that as my metabolic, you know, kind of rate. And then I get the fortune of eating food and giving insulin to try and keep my glucose, you know, where it needs to be on a daily basis and prevent all those bad things from happening. So it can be a tough disease. You know, once you get it, there's 300 decisions you make per day, every day, that can have life or death consequences. But, I really feel that it's because of diabetes that, you know, if I'm healthier than, you know, the version of me that would have never wasn't diagnosed, just because I've been obsessed with health every moment of every day of my entire life.
400 million people living today with diabetes, the type 1 that you had, more severe, type 1, type 2. What's the difference between type 1 and type 2?
So type 1 is the autoimmune. And so the body, infants to even 70 years old, the body can destroy, you know, the beta cells that help the body to produce insulin. And from that point forward, you have to inject insulin as a means of controlling your glucose. And so they say more severe, but then there's type 2 diabetes, which, you know, if you look at it, Jack, it's, over the years, like, you're genetically speaking, you were given a certain amount of insulin that you can produce and use over your lifetime. And if at a young age, you know, you were taught a sedentary lifestyle and taught that junk food is normal, then, you know, that in your younger years and your early 20s, you can use up all your insulin by the time you're 20 years old, or some people 50 years old is when you get diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And it's at that stage, you're typically, you know, put into a negative segment, right? Because type 2 is often, you know, labeled as some, you know, people were lazy, they didn't eat well, it's their fault, which is not true, right? In today's age, I think type 2 is a much harder condition to live with just because of all the negative stigma that comes with type 2. And, you know, and it's a progressive disease to where first you're told diet and exercise will cure you. And most of the time that doesn't work. Then you're given one drug that says, this is going to help you reverse diabetes. That typically doesn't work. And then ultimately people with diabetes get put on a GLP-1 and then an insulin. And typically they're ashamed of being on insulin because that's what the doctor said is the greatest failure in type 2. And it's just not the case, right? I've done a lot of work, you know, over the past years abolishing all the stigmas associated with type 1, you know, to where now people with type 1 diabetes are proud to live with the disease. They wear their continuous glucose monitors on their arm as a symbol that they're taking care of themselves and embracing their health challenges as a chance to be the best version of themselves. And we got to do that for the type 2 world because, you know, 90 million Americans either have diabetes or prediabetes. And if those 90 million people, you know, kind of wake up in the morning thinking, you know, that they failed, then that's not a good way to live. And so, you know, we want to, you know, awaken those 90 million people to say today is day one in becoming the best version of myself, and let's figure out how to get healthy. And for type 2s who need to use insulin, that's okay. You know, you can, whatever your doctor tells you need to do to be the best version of yourself, let's go embrace it and get active, which is, I think, is the key corollary between type 1 and type 2 and prediabetes. And for completely healthy individuals, that exercise is one of the most, exercise activity such as walking is one of the most powerful drugs that we all have access to. And the more we do that, the healthier we're going to be, no matter, you know, what condition we're labeled with.
We're talking to Phil Sutherland. If you want to learn more, www.supersapiens.com. When we come back, we're going to ask Phil, how has mom reacted 30 years ago when the 7-month-old infant was told, you have diabetes type 1? And I'm Jack Grisul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Grisul with Phil Sutherland. Phil, 30 years ago, talking about stigmas, diabetes was all about what you could not do. How did your mom react when she heard her infant son had type 1 diabetes?
Well, I think my mom, for one, I was misdiagnosed twice, and I'd lost about 10 pounds in 2 days before they finally gave her the bad news. So when the doctor said, your son's going to live for now, she just heard your son's going to live. So she was, you know, so grateful for that, number one. And then I think it was a really hard time. You know, you think, you know, back in the day, they had to squeeze urine out of my diaper to find out where my glucose was 2 hours in the past. I had to learn how to, you know, they had to give me insulin. They had to check my glucose. It's very, very tough to do for someone who does, you don't know how much they're going to eat. And she had a lot of mental breakdowns, where she just find herself locking herself in a closet, crying, thinking, my God, my child's going to die. And then fortunately, my mom surrounded herself with good friends. And one of those friends said, you know, Joanna, pull yourself together. You need to be strong. If your son's going to have any chance of life, you know, he's alive now. Let's see what we can do. And, you know, that snapped my mom out of it. And then fortunately blood glucose monitoring became available. And so my parents would check my glucose 10 times a day. You know, you think about little infant toes of a 20-pound kid trying to prick those 10 times a day. Not easy, but they did it to find out, you know, what everything did to my body, and just kind of embraced making me this little experiment tool find out, what did breast milk do to my body? What did regular milk do to my body? What did orange juice do to my body? And, you know, early on, they found out that, you know, when I was active and moving, my insulin seemed to be work better. And, you know, my numbers were more like theirs. So at a time when diabetics weren't supposed to compete in sport because of the risks of hypoglycemia, my parents said, screw it. If he's going to die young, he might as well live a good life. And they were believers that sport could be a good tool for that. And I say, I really do feel that, you know, sport is the reason I'm alive and well today. I learned a lot of powerful lessons, you know, that if I had good control of glucose, I could win. You know, if I had bad control of glucose, I would lose. And the thing that still to this day applies to all of us is the days that I was exercising, that I was in the pool, it was much, much easier to manage my diabetes. So I obsessed about glucose to be a champion. And had my parents never put me in sport, I do feel that those doctors' early predictions of death and blindness, you know, might be true today.
All right, speaking of sport, at age 12, you fell in love with the bike. And you're at the University of Georgia. You're attending there. And you have a dream to combine your passion for cycling and your personal mission to raise awareness around diabetes. What was that dream, please?
Well, step back a minute. I was a pretty selfish kid, wanting to go to the Tour de France. I wanted to be a professional bike racer. And so I obsessed about cycling, training. And in college, I went to school in the morning, I trained in the afternoon, and then I went to work at night. So I was pretty much working 16 hours a day from the time I was 18 years old, which I thought was a great lesson in college. Right? Life is hard. Deal with it. Accept it and push forward. But I had the pleasure of meeting a guy named Joe Eldridge, who's my co-founder at Team Type 1. I helped motivate Joe to take control of his glucose. He told me I saved his life. You know, that was the first time I really considered did something selfless. Selfishly, it felt really good. I started reaching out to others in the diabetes community and seeing what their struggles were with diabetes. And, thought the bike could be a good platform to help, inspire, educate, and empower people affected by diabetes. So, I had the dream to, take a type 1 diabetic, get to the Tour de France, and globalize hope for people with diabetes. So that was really the start of it. And, I got put on a continuous glucose monitor, which is a device that gives your glucose reading every minute. And once I had access to that technology, I realized we could put an all-diabetic team and race across America to get this dream going. And, we got the opportunity, thanks to Abbott Laboratories, Chicago-based company, to do that in 2006. And that was the start of, what's now been an 18-year journey of, changing the way the world looks at diabetes. And using sport, my favorite drug, is the platform to do so.
How did you find the athletes, and how did the cycling community respond to this dream?
So I had a good friend, Jared Gruber, who wrote an article in one of the Pez Cycling News, which was a pretty hot media property in the world of cycling back in 2005. Within a week I had, 8 riders signed up, and that was our team. And, then when I said we were going to do it, I got laughed at a lot, Jack. It was, wait, you're going to put an all diabetic team and race your bikes across America? That's crazy. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And, well, how are you going to raise the money? And, it was about a $250,000 endeavor to do that in 2006. I said, well, I'm going to raise it. I'll find people who believe and want to be involved in inspiring the world of diabetes. It's a big market. And again, I just got told, you're crazy. There's no way you'll ever be able to do that. So, I was fortunate to have enough people who did believe in me. One guy, Mark Anderson, said, Phil, I'll fly out to Las Vegas to a trade show, for the cycling trade show. And I must have looked like a snake oil salesman, Jack, because I was 23, looked like I was 16, had a suit and tie on at a trade show where people wear jeans and T-shirts. Right? And I was saying, I'm going to change the world for people with diabetes. And I walked around with 100 proposals. I got told yes 95 times, but none of those people wrote me back. And I got told no a few times, but those people actually ended up sponsoring me. And then, you know, and then I had to approach Big Pharma, Abbott Laboratories, and I shared with them my dream. And they said, you know, you're crazy, but, you know, we think people with diabetes need this. And Holly Culp, God bless her, was, you know, said, Phil, you know, I'm going to find a way to sponsor your team. And if not, me and my husband, we'll write you a personal check to ensure that you can do this, because we believe diabetes needs this. Diabetes needs heroes, and you've come at the right time. So, you know, Rhett was able to assemble a team of sponsors, assemble a team of cyclists, of volunteers, an amazing crew. And thanks to Abbott Laboratories, Abbott Diabetes Care in particular, I was able to get the money and the technology needed to make that dream possible. And it was, again, we were laughed at. We were looked as the joke of the race that year. But when the race was all said and done, you know, people had a completely different perspective of what was possible when you assemble a team of people with diabetes. You know, we took our greatest perceived weakness and, you know, made it our greatest strength, which I think is a lesson that applies to just about everyone out there. It's been a crazy ride ever since.
We're talking to Phil Sutherland. If you want to learn more, www.teamnovo.nordisk.com. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Phil Sutherland. Phil, 18 years later, you've won national championships. What's amazed you the most these past 18 years?
I think the thing that inspires me the most is just the kids that come up to us at races around the world, and you know, their parents are in tears because they know that their kid has a shot in life. They know that their kid, no matter what their dream is, you know, diabetes isn't going to hold them back. And, you know, it's what, you know, I've seen access to medicine, you know, in developing countries change over these years. The technology that allows us to, you know, live and breathe and, you know, dream with diabetes has improved so much over the last 18 years. But really the change and perception, you know, I wear two glucose sensors on my arm, and, you know, the technology that, you know, we helped, you know, bring to the market, and help the market, you know, adopt and trust and now use, is now a technology that's being used by people without diabetes. And so, you know, every time when I'm at, you know, sporting events with my kids or at the rock climbing gym with my kids, people say, "Oh, do you use that sensor to manage diabetes or do you use it for health?" And I think they're one and the same. And you know, I started another company, Super Sapiens, you know, to bring this glucose technology and, you know, educate people on metabolic health to the world without diabetes. So it's great to just see how similar we all are. And I don't know, Jack, I'm amazed every day. Some form or fashion, I get amazed every day. I get inspired every day, because when someone has the guts to put a dream down on paper and then get to work on achieving that dream, the tools that they use to do it, it's just inspiring to watch their journey. It reminds me of when I was a kid, and it's pretty good at keeping me feeling young at heart on a daily basis.
We're talking to Phil Sutherland. If you want to learn more, www.teamnovo.nordisk.com. Okay, you mentioned the word Super Sapiens. Let's jump to February 2019, and you've got another huge dream. Tell us about Super Sapiens.
Well, you know, part of my job, it's like everything, you ask me a great question about the future, and then I always have to take it one step back. And that part of my job at Team Novo Nordisk is to help my athletes, you know, manage their disease effectively. Because, you know, when you race for Team Novo Nordisk, you know, diabetes can never be an excuse. So I've been working for 10 years to get glucose to the bike computer, right? And for those who don't know, a bike computer tells you your heart rate, your speed, your power. It's got maps on it. And it's the thing that most athletes who ride a bike look at, you know, probably a few times a minute as they're pedaling away for, you know, either professional bike races or, you know, a recreational ride these days. And so I finally made that happen, thanks to Chip Hawkins, founder of Wahoo Fitness. Got glucose to the bike computer. It changed my life. It changed the athlete, the team of Nordic's life. And I realized, you know, here was a business opportunity to, you know, help get this technology to people with diabetes and, you know, allow them to exercise safely. It's going to get a lot more people moving. And, you know, as I had this idea to bring Super Sapiens to market, which essentially means, you know, help you be the best of you, right? That's what we want to do. The thought was, you know, I'd never sold a product, right? And so I kept reaching out to the, you know, good entrepreneurs, successful business people, telling them about this glucose device that can help you be the best of you when you're exercising. And then kept getting the same feedback. I don't have diabetes. I'd buy this. I don't have the diabetes. I'd buy this. I don't have diabetes. I'd buy this. And, you know, I created the business, worked on the plan to get it for people without diabetes, had some good co-founders. And then, you know, yet again, call it 13 years later, had a conversation with some senior leadership at Abbott Diabetes Care and said, I want to use your technology to change the world for athletes and let athletes inspire the world to get moving, get active. And I was able to strike that deal. And, you know, a year later, I brought Super Sapiens to market. And, you know, my athletes using our technology have won the Tour de France, gold medals in the Olympics. They win in Formula One. It's been used in NBA and La Liga, which is professional soccer over in Europe. And it's just great to see the sporting community, you know, adopting, you know, this new wave of, you know, technology, just as the diabetes community did 18 years prior. So it's, you know, getting to start another company. It's been an interesting learning, interesting experience, but yet again, getting to see the change in mentality, you know, has been just a dream come true. It's great to see our, just like at Team Novo Nordisk, I got to see a bunch of champions achieve their dreams, and it's the same thing at Super Sapiens. I get to see a bunch of my customers achieving their dreams, and to be a small part in their big journeys, you know, excites me to wake up and get to work every single day.
We're talking to Phil Sutherland. If you want to learn more, www.supersapiens.com. Phil, why that name and what's the mission?
Well, why that name? It's, if you think about it, we're all us, right? So Super Sapiens, we want, let's see, you know, we want people to be the best version, and we want you to be the best version of yourself. And at Super Sapiens, you know, we enable you to achieve your goals by providing solutions and insights for improved metabolic health. So if you think about that, so that's the mission, to enable you to achieve your goals by providing solutions and insights to improve metabolic health. And when you achieve your goals, you know, then you are the best version of yourself. And, you know, that goal could be to lose 5 pounds. It could be to perform better. It could be to go out and, you know, to the dream goal could be to see your grandkids grow up. And we know improving your metabolic health is going to be a proxy to help that dream come possible.
Speaking of the future, paint for us a picture of world-class sports performance in 10 years.
Ooh, the athletes are going to go faster. They're going to kick harder. And most importantly, you know, I think as athletes embrace this technology, you know, to manage their weight, to sleep better, to feel better when they're active, and they do this on the biggest stages in sport, it's going to inspire their families, their friends, and the fans of sport also to adopt this technology. And in doing so, when the fans of sport put a continuous glucose monitor, you know, Super Sapiens on their arm, what's going to happen is they're going to see what everything does to their body. They're going to see the graphs, you know, of what bad food does versus what good food does. And it's going to inspire behavior change like never been seen before. So, you know, sport is one of the greatest connectors in the world. And I think now the athletes will be using a technology that can fundamentally change, you know, their health, well-being. The athletes of the world will have a greater purpose than they've ever had before in 10 years' time. They won't just inspire people to dream. But they'll empower them with this new technology that's going to enable those dreams to come true and enable them to make the best decisions in health. So I think sport, you know, again, we're going to see, you know, that's the beauty of sport is world records are always broken because athletes always want to be better. They, once they see a target that's never been done before, they're going to work to reach that target. But now doing so with Super Sapiens, they're going to inspire behavior change and inspire a new generation of health like we've never seen before. So it's an exciting time to be an athlete and to think of, you know, athletes all want to inspire. Now they can not just inspire, they can empower, you know, a health journey that's going to forever change the world.
We're talking to Phil Sutherland, the author of Not Dead Yet, My Race Against Disease, From Diagnosis to Dominance. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJI.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Phil Sutherland. Phil, if there's a listener tonight that said, I just found out I'm diabetic, what do you say to him or her?
Diabetes only chooses champions. Welcome to the team. It used to be tough, but there's amazing technology today. The drugs are there. You know, people with diabetes are now expected to live longer than people without diabetes. So I'd say use this, you know, kind of diagnosis to see the opportunity of becoming the best version of yourself from a health and wellness perspective. And I do firmly believe that diabetes only chooses the champions. And, you know, my family's healthier because I have diabetes. My friends are healthier because I have diabetes. So it's not just a superpower for you, but it's a superpower for everyone around you.
All right, let's talk about how best to control it. I quote you now, sport is the billion-dollar drug that needs to be a part of every person's life. Talk about sport and exercise in relation to diabetes.
So, you know, if you think about, I'll try to contextualize something that I live in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, home of Coca-Cola. Right, so if I, sitting here in the office, having done nothing right now, wanted to drink a Coke, I would need to inject 5 units of insulin for that Coke, right? And that would get my glucose back to normal after a pretty pronounced spike. But if I would go out and ride my bike, you know, for an hour, and after about 30 minutes I start to drink that Coke, I wouldn't have to give any insulin, and my glucose would come back to normal. You know, everyone's different, so that's just an example for me. So if you think about it, you know, activity equates to insulin. You know, it causes your body to burn energy. And when you exercise, your metabolism increases, meaning the next snack I have later in the day is going to be burned much more efficiently than if I didn't have any movement. So when I'm exercising on a consistent basis, you know, I need on average, you know, 25 units of insulin per day. If I stop exercising for a 2-week period, I'll need 40 to 45 units of insulin per day. So that's me able to quantify the impact of exercise on my metabolic health. And, you know, it needs to be managed. You know, I don't ever, you know, if you have type 1 diabetes in particular, there's a risk of something called hypoglycemia, which is very low glucose, which can come during activity. And it's all about being prepared, right? So I, I never go out on a bike ride without at least 80 grams of carbohydrates. And so I'll have the carbohydrates in my pockets. If I don't need them, that's fine. But if I do need them, they're there. And and so what I tell people with diabetes when they're going to exercise is check your glucose, check it often. With Super Sapiens, I have glucose on my wrist on a continual basis, so I can look down 60 times an hour if I need to see what my glucose is and where it's going. And if it's dropping, I start to eat sugar. And if it's going up, then I drink water. And it's just kind of knowing what does what to your body, and then making the decisions you need to be to keep your glucose stable and continue to be the best version of yourself.
If there's a listener that says, I'll be honest with you, Phil, I'm addicted to, I got diabetes, and I'm addicted to junk food. I can't stop eating junk food.
So, I'd say I understand, because I loved, when I was in high school in particular, I loved Snickers bars. I loved Dairy Queen Blizzards. Right? A large Oreo Blizzard cost $3.21 when I was in high school. And I knew the woman at the drive-in counter's name. We had a good relationship because she saw me every day after school. So I understand those who are addicted to junk food. So what I would say is exercise to earn it. Right? I didn't eat Snickers bars unless I was on the bike, and I didn't eat a Dairy Queen unless I was going to go on a bike ride right after. And so if you love junk food, I understand, I can relate to you. If you can get out there and be active, and earn your junk food, it's going to help you from a long-term metabolic health standpoint. And if you have a big meal, and you haven't had the chance to exercise already, just try to go on a long walk afterwards. If you just had a burger and fries, and you're sitting in the office, you're feeling tired, go walk. If you can get out and take a phone call on the walk, call your friends, call your mom, call your family, and walk for 30 minutes after a big meal, it's really going to help your body metabolize that junk food more effectively. And hopefully, once you use a continuous glucose monitor, like Super Sapiens, then you can start to see the effects that junk food has on your body, and just start maybe try a little bit more moderation. But movement's the first step. Using a continuous glucose monitor to see what it does to you from a glucose response standpoint is number two. And then making a decision. Do you want to be who you are today, or do you want to be the best version of yourself? And then find out what steps you need to take for either path you choose to walk.
We're talking to Phil Sutherland. Since 2019. He's been the CEO and founder of Super Sapiens, which empowers peak performance with a new energy management system. www.supersapiens.com. You mentioned 90 million Americans have it, or are near to having it. Phil, that's almost 30% of America. And juvenile diabetes is on the tremendous rise. Talk about the obesity amongst our young people.
Yeah, unfortunately, obesity amongst the youth is a rapidly growing problem. I know there's a lot of endocrinology, which is, those are the doctors who specialize in diabetes. There's a lot of endocrinology clinics in the South in particular that have more type 2 diabetic children than type 1 diabetic children. And, that's a problem. I see, I think we've got to get moving, right? And, Jack, I look at, how can Super Sapiens, change the policy? How can Team Never Nordis change policy? I've got three young boys at school. I've got an older daughter who's 20, but I've got three boys at school. They have PE every 4 days. So I think we can use this data that we're gathering about the benefits of exercise for metabolic health, and one, get physical education back in schools 5 days a week. That's time where we control what kids do. We need to get kids moving, 5 days a week at minimum, outside. It's better for their eyes. It's better for their health. It's better for their glucose. And all of those things, cause an improvement in mental health. For the children, which is a touchy subject these days and one we need to look at more. So I think we got to get the kids moving, most importantly, and need to look at how do we control device time for kids. Again, my 4-year-old loves to steal a phone and try to go get access to it. It's this is a new problem that today's parents really need to be cognizant of. But if a parent is teaching a child that sitting inside, eating junk food, watching TV is the normal thing, then that's going to be what's normal for your kids. And so I think as parents, we need to take responsibility, not just for our own health, but for the health of our children, because what we do to them today, it's not just, it's going to have drastic consequences on their lives. And, you know, any good habits we teach the kids will be generational, and any bad habits we teach the kids will also be multi-generational. So think about your grandchildren and what do you want them to think is normal? And if you want them to be healthy, if you want your kids to be healthy, then we've got to all go get active together. And that doesn't mean run a marathon, doesn't mean go on a 100-mile bike ride. But if, as families, we can all go out and walk for 45 minutes, 30, 45 minutes every night, you know, everyone's got a pair of shoes, everyone's got a pair of socks. Let's just put them to good use by taking a stroll around the neighborhood. You know, little, one step at a time is all it takes to be the best version of yourself. So we got to just start taking steps together, because we can prevent this pandemic of type 2 diabetes. We can reverse the trends on obesity, but we've got to, you know, look beyond ourselves and, you know, think of our family, think of our friends, and, you know, take responsibility, you know, for everyone, and do it together, because being healthy is a, you know, communal, you know, kind of, you know, task, but being unhealthy is a communal disorder. So let's seize the day, seize the opportunity. And again, if you haven't walked outside with your kids in the last, you know, year, that's okay. There's no judgment, because we can't control the past, but you do control today, you control tomorrow. And, you know, taking those small steps, you know, will have drastic, you know, benefits to you, to your family, and to your heirs, you know, down the road. So good luck, you know, get moving. And let's see if we can be a part of the positive change in the world. And I know we can. And Jack, I know your listeners can. That's why they come to hear you.
We've been talking to Phil Sutherland. Phil, you're a proud Georgia Bulldog, but more importantly, you're an inspiration to millions of people around the world. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you so much, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohem. Believe in yourself.